This is 89.1 KMUW, NPR for Wichita, a service of Wichita State University. Up now on Musical Space, Mark Foley takes on censorship.
The arts hold a mirror to society, and sometimes those in power don't like the reflected image. There's always been censorship in music, and as the media have become more institutionalized, so has censorship. As you can imagine, the Nazis and the Soviet Union clamped down hard on music. Not only were there many pieces permanently taken from society, but their composers were as well. Modern Russia has also done its share. Witness the imprisonment of the feminist Russian protest punk band Pussy Riot in 2012. But the United States is not entirely guilt-free either, First Amendment notwithstanding. Pro-Confederate songs were banned here even after the Civil War. McCarthyism suppressed the music of many. Pete Seeger's career essentially stopped for the 10 years after his conviction of contempt of Congress. The FCC was able to prevent radio stations from playing songs with even vaguely subversive references, like The Byrds' 8 Miles High. But self-censorship can be just as chilling as the government kind. The media have routinely stifled music to avoid controversy. Billie Holiday's signature song, Strange Fruit, which describes a lynching, was immediately banned by American radio stations in 1939. God Only Knows by the Beach Boys was squelched just because it mentions God. Loretta Lynn's The Pill was chopped in 1975, too socially aware. And that's the kind of censorship we see today. I'm hearing a polite avoidance of anything political in pop right now, which is counterproductive. Because if sellers of music want their product to be relevant, then they have to reflect the times instead of look the other way. For KMUW, I'm Mark Foley.